You're listening to the Live, Love, Engage podcast. On today's show, why attracting high-quality clients can help you work fewer hours and make more money. Stay tuned. I am Gloria Grace Rand, founder of The Love Method and author of the number one Amazon bestseller, Live, Love, Engage, How to Stop Doubting Yourself and Start Being Yourself. In this podcast, we share practical advice from a spiritual perspective on how to live fully, love deeply, and engage authentically so you can create a life and business with more impact, influence, and income. Welcome to Live, Love, Engage. Namaste, and welcome back to another edition of Live, Love, Engage. And I'm delighted to have a woman joining us from Maryland today, and her name is Shayla Boyd Gill. And I want to welcome you first off, Shayla, to Live, Love, Engage.
Well, thank you so much, Gloria. I'm so excited to be here with your community today.
Well, thank you. And I'm excited too, because this is a powerhouse woman. So let me just give you a little glimpse of a little bit about what she has accomplished, and then she's going to share more details, of course. But she juggles being an entrepreneur, a wife of 24 years, a mom of 6 homeschooled children. I've like bowed to you right there. Number one, having 6 kids and then homeschooling them. Oh my gosh, I could not even imagine that. It was enough with 2. She's also went from bankruptcy to a multiple 6-figure business. And now she's a family freedom and affluence mentor and creator of the Lux Your Business sales system. And she really helps, well, shows women entrepreneurs how to have it all, family freedom and affluence while doing what they love. And I really want to hear all about this because it's something that I know a lot of women entrepreneurs struggle with, and to be able to really to do that, to be able to run a business, to be successful, to have a family. So tell me a little bit about your story and how is it that you went from bankruptcy to multiple 6-figure business, and at the same time, you're homeschooling kids as well. So
it's a wild story. It's definitely a wild story. And just to give you a little bit more history behind the scenes, I left corporate America in 2003. And when I left, I literally had to say to myself, what are you going to do? How can you make this different? Because my family did depend on a 2-family income. The biggest reason for me leaving was having a meeting with my first son's teacher. He was in the first grade. And she said, he's such an amazing student. He's really smart, but we don't have enough support for him. He should be in the 3rd grade, but he's not emotionally prepared for the 3rd grade. You know, he's ahead and he's bored. And her biggest concern was, we're going to dumb him down if he stays in this system. So you have 2 options. You can put him in private school or you can homeschool him. So what I love to tell people is the way my budget was set up in 2003, private school wasn't an option for us. And so I feel like the universe literally just said, you're going to have to take a radical leap. And I had to, not being an educator, just throw myself into the world of homeschooling. And so I decided we're going to do this homeschooling journey. And I still need to make money. I need to figure out how we can maintain what we have and not be in a place of struggle. And so I looked at my husband. I was like, what's something I do really well? He was like, oh, you know, you have this skill. You're good with math. You're good with that. I'm like, yeah, but what do I really do well? And after we kind of thought about this, the running joke in my house was, I'm really good at having babies. No one says this, Gloria. Okay. No one. I said, look, I believe you can monetize anything. And the reason I said that, Gloria, is because what I understood is the women in my community were having pretty traumatic birthing experiences, and I couldn't understand why. I was like, I don't understand it. I had such beautiful experiences. At this point, I had 3 children. You know, the experience, every woman's experience is her experience. But when you compare, they're like, oh, whoa, everyone has a war story about birth. And I felt like I was on the opposite end. And I said, well, what did I do different? I realized I had I had a class for birthing classes, but it was a natural birthing class. Mm-hmm. I had a doula. I had a midwife. I'm like, that's the missing piece.
Yeah.
We kind of go with the routine of things, but we didn't realize there were resources available. I just happened to stumble across them. And so what I did is I became a natural childbirth educator and a doula, because I said, if I can give this back to my community and other women and educate women and just teach women how to be able to advocate for themselves, I can make a difference. That's where I made my first six figures. Mm-hmm. I really positioned myself and didn't realize that I understood how to do business. I remember sitting with clients, going for an interview to see if they would take me on as their doula. And they're like, you're the only one showing up as if it's a business. They said, are you a part of an agency? I'm like, no, I am the agency. But I had my collateral together. I understood how to have a conversation that converted. I understood how to help them feel like they were valued. Mm-hmm. I didn't show up like we had our running joke in our industry. Like, we all wore Birkenstocks and something like that. But I'm like, I could be au naturel, but still have a business. And I said, this is something I can do. I did it and I gave until I couldn't give anymore, but I didn't understand how to manage the money of the business. Mm-hmm. So here's what I love to tell people, and this is where this gets into your question, why bankruptcy? What I love to tell people is, if you have $100,000 and you spend $101,000, what is that?
Yeah, that doesn't work. Yep.
Unfortunately. Something's broken there. When your eye is not staying on the prize, when you're not managing what's going on around you, you can be an ultra giver. You can make decisions that are not conducive. And I had to really just say, you made some royal mistakes. It ended up in bankruptcy. I was going through that guilt cycle. I felt really bad. I'm like, how can I be homeschooling? I'm supposed to be smart. I'm supposed to be this. I'm supposed to be that. And I'm like, no, you made a mistake, but you're going to learn a lesson in this mistake. So from there, I learned how to really reach out, get support. I had my own coaches. I learned how to do money differently. Mm-hmm. I learned how to do business more effectively. And when I was burning out of the birthing cycle, I said, how can I still support and advocate for women? A lot of my moms that had babies, they didn't want to go back to work. Mm-hmm. Huh. Well, what do you do really well? I started teaching them how to start a business. Mm-hmm. And that was in 2012. And since then, I've not only taught women how to start businesses, but they've grown and I've been able to elevate my message. So that's where we've gotten to the point where we're teaching women how to scale business and or build sellable businesses. So that's how I got here.
Love that. That is so many great lessons there. But I think the most important, well, there's a couple really important ones. Number one, you had a supportive spouse who, you know, brainstorm with you to try to figure out what you were good at. And I think that's so important that not everybody necessarily has when they're starting a new business. And I think also the fact that, that you looked at what was it that you were really good at and looked at what was missing, you know, what was something that there was a void in your community that you were able to fill. So that's really great. I wanted to talk a little bit more about, you know, you mentioned then being able to, now that you're helping other business owners and women to be able to really grow their business in less time. And you talk about being able to, you know, do this with fewer clients, because a lot of times, sometimes we think we have to, you know, serve everybody, but then we're not necessarily also charging appropriately. Mm-hmm. And that gets to be a problem. So how can you actually like work fewer hours and make more money? And does the client, you know, does that entail then, you know, being able to work with fewer clients?
Right. So there are several things that we're looking at. Number one, it's really honing in on who your high quality client is. And this is where we're givers. If we're naturally, energetically givers, you're right. We want to serve everyone. And we're always concerned that we're going to leave someone behind. But if we look at this world, we know there are lots of people in this world. There's enough for everyone. And so I had to really get into that mindset of abundance of, I don't have to be the person for everyone. There's someone that's available to serve this person that's not a right fit for me. Mm-hmm. I had to get out of the habit of taking on everyone because it was slowing me down. And in reality, you're slowing your clients down too. when your focus is everywhere. When you start lasering into the high quality, perfect client for yourself, you are going to spend less time, but they are going to grasp onto what you have quicker. They are going to be clients that you tend to retain. So you're not going to find yourself always searching and looking outward, trying to find the next client. You know, it's like, I got to make new money, got to do another launch. You're going to spend less time launching, and you may not even do launches. You'll have a natural feeder for clients. And what I love to tell you, when you get to a certain caliber of a client, the myth is, if I am a high ticket expert, they're going to need so much more for me to justify this price point. Mm. It's the complete opposite. Your higher quality clients are typically just as busy as you are. They're not needing as much time. They're needing the information that you have. They need your advocation. They want you to advocate with them and for them, but they are not needing you all the time. It's a level of emotional maturity that comes along with that. And in that case, you will find yourself sitting back saying, am I doing enough? You know, because you see your peers are super busy and you're wondering like, okay, why do I have this much time on my hand? You can create that. When we leave our jobs, we're typically saying, I want to go in business for myself so I can have freedom.
Right. Right.
And that freedom ends up looking at 60 hours a week or more, right? Mm-hmm. That's not freedom. And so it's really looking at, what is it you really desire for yourself, for your business, for your family, and how can you create that? And a lot of this comes with just ease and grace, really allowing yourself to flow through ease and grace, identifying who that client is, being the best value for that client, like bringing your best self to that client, and just really looking strategically, look at your numbers. How many people do I really need? Can my business survive on 20 clients a year or less? Mm-hmm. I say to myself, I think it's important to work your business the way it works for you energetically. If energetically I'm quite introverted, I don't do big volumes, I can't be in a big room with a whole lot of people, why force it? It's just a drain on you. So build it so that it works for you. And that's what we're able to do over here.
I love that. And I love how you use the phrase ease and grace. That's like one of my favorite phrases. That's because that's what I'm all about too, is being able to create a business for myself that really operates that way and being able to help others do the same. One thing that I know in some of the clients I've worked with, and even me as well, from time to time as well, as finding it challenging is how to attract those high quality clients and I think even highly qualified also can call it as well. So how can someone go about doing that?
So when we're looking at highly qualified clients, it really is, number one, speaking their language. So it can be very easy for us to speak dual languages. What I mean by dual language, say you want a high quality client that wants to scale their business. But if my language is, would you like to be able to sell high ticket? Would you like to get your first four-figure month? Would you like to? I'm speaking below to a client that's not the client that I really want. So number one, you want to make sure your message matches the level of the client that you're looking for. Mm-hmm. If you're speaking a message of struggle and your clients aren't struggling, you're going to attract a crowd that's struggling. And you're saying, well, these people aren't the fit for me. Well, you spoke to them. Your client couldn't hear it. So number one is your messaging. Number two, I like to use applications for qualifiers. In your application, you can put specific questions in there so that you can field out people. And what I love to say is people will self-select. Some people will start my applications and they're like, yeah, that's not for me. But it's not a problem. And then if they get through the application and it's really not for them, I love to say you are not obligated to speak to everyone on the phone. You can send a reply and say, unfortunately, your application wasn't accepted, but here are some resources. Mm-hmm. The resources could be your internal resources. The resources could be a referral to some partners that are a better fit. So if someone's applying for me and they're saying, I don't have a business, I have a job that's interfering, that's probably not my client. I know exactly who to send them to. So they're still going to be served. And then your last thing, your third is, once you're getting on the phone with people, you're still not obligated to make an offer. You're not obligated to invite people in. You can ask questions, and through that discovery, that's why we call it discovery, through that discovery process, if you really are being authentic with yourself and not being forced, like you're not being so scripted that you're like, okay, I'm at step one, step two, step three. If you, and there are four things I tell people to do. One thing, you have to lead on that call, L-E-A-D. You need to listen. If you're not listening, you're going to make an offer to the wrong person. You need to learn, is this a right fit client or is this something that I need to let go of? And leave, L-E-A-V-E. Sometimes you're getting on a call with people and you just need to end the call. And you have the authority to do that. Mm-hmm. So your filtering is your message, your application, and the discovery process. Mm-hmm. And I know some people are listening and saying, but how do I find those people to get to those places? You might be finding them through, if you're speaking, it could be through a podcast like this. It could be through your website. It could be referrals. There are lots of vehicles to find those people. So it's not a case of the people don't exist. You just need to find which vehicle is most effective for you, your message, and your brand.
Mm, awesome. That is so important. And I know that, like I said, so many of women entrepreneurs, I think in particular, we want to be able to serve other people, and we want to be able to serve, we've got big hearts. And so it's recognizing that we're in control of the conversation. I think that was a really big point that you put out, that we're not obligated to do things that aren't in alignment with ourselves, that we have the ability to say no.
No is an amazing word, right?
I know, yeah. One of my first clients, they were life coaches, and they had a talk that was called No is a Complete Sentence.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Well, it's important. And think about this, Gloria. I don't know if this has ever happened to you before, but how many times have you made an offer to someone, you had red flags, but you made the offer anyway? Mm-hmm. Being a giver.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it ends up being the worst case scenario. Like the client, you're like, when is this going to end? Or you're saying to yourself, oh, I got to get on the phone with this person again. Let me breathe first. You have to prepare. They may energetically drain you. But there was something that kind of gave you a warning before you both said yes. And yeah, you ignored that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And that's why one of my missions, I think, in life now is really helping people to listen to that intuition, because I have, yes, I've absolutely done that. And it's bitten me in the butt, I like to say.
Every time.
When I don't, yeah.
Every time. And you know it. You're signing off and you're like, I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. How could someone that like really wants to be able to do this, what you're saying, get it wrong? Do you think?
Definitely get it wrong. There's several ways you can get this wrong. You're looking outward and trying to follow or model what someone else is doing. Mm. If you're doing it and you're only focused on the dollar, meaning you're like, if you're saying, I want to make a lot of money, I want to do high ticket, you throw extra zeros behind a dollar amount that you charge. Mm-hmm. You are not creating the true experience for your client. You're just creating a money grab. It's going to go wrong. You're going to have clients that won't get the transformation that you promised. You're going to have a reputation that's not going to be in your favor, and you will feel inauthentic about what it is. There will not be longevity associated with it. You can't sustain a fraud. It just can't be sustained. It's going to blow up somewhere. Mm-hmm. So it's better, you know, and one of the things I've been talking to my clients about is just really being yourself. Mm-hmm. We put a lot of effort into being something that we're not, because there's so much noise that we're getting socially. Mm-hmm. There's so much confusion. There's so much, it's too much information. And when we get too much information, everyone has a way. And if you're not focused on your way, you'll get distracted by trying to follow multiple ways. And in that case, you don't have a metric that you can follow. There's no true data associated with what you're doing, because you don't give whatever you're doing enough time to be able to prove that what you're doing can work. So that's where you'll see people say, well, this thing doesn't work, or, you know, I tried that, but it didn't work. And I love to ask people, even when they come to me and maybe they've worked with someone else, well, this person's thing didn't work. How did you work it? Mm-hmm. I love to ask people, how did you choose to work it? Because we will look for an out. And they'll say, well, I tried it for 1 month. I'm like, well, okay. Was that really enough time to determine? And that might be a red flag for me. Like, how many people did you work with? Oh, I've worked with 5 people and every one of them had a problem. Okay. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're the problem. No one wants to hear that though. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. That's awful. You know?
Yeah.
So sorry you had that experience. And, you know, we're probably not a good fit. I don't want you to have that experience over here either.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's the warning sign. It's like, go run.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I had a woman who I was actually a while back, a few years ago, I was trying to help her with crafting a resume, and I would make all these suggestions and also about like how to use LinkedIn more effectively. And, and it was like, she just kept batting down everything I said. Nope. I tried that. Or nope. Somebody else says you can't do it that way. And I'm like, and I was getting physically upset. I was like, my stomach was turning in knots listening to her. And I finally said, you know what? Yeah, I thought I could help you, but I really think we're just not the right fit. And you're going to have to find somebody else.
Do it your way.
I think I gave her maybe some other name, but I think even that person, she was, you know, said nah.
Exactly.
So, you know, some people are their own worst enemy at times, and sometimes you have to, you know, bottom out before you're willing to be able to accept help. And
so true.
Yeah. I wanted to circle back to a little bit what I mentioned at the beginning, that you had a really supportive spouse, it sounded like, when you were first even, you know, just deciding to launch a business. How do you enroll someone, you know, enroll your family and enroll your spouse into supporting you? Because, I love my hubby, but he also used to kind of needle me a little bit and saying, you know, how's that hobby of yours coming along? And it was, you know, very, sure, kind of get my dander up, you know, a bit. So how were you able to do that?
That's a good question, Gloria. So I love to tell my clients, one of your first sales conversation is going to be with your family. Mm. And let me tell you some mistakes first, and then I'll tell you the how.
Okay, good.
The mistake I find is you go to your partner and you're like, guess what? I'm doing this business. I'm investing in this thing and it's going to cost $30,000. And they're looking at you like, say what? All they heard, they didn't hear the joy. They didn't hear the business. They heard the dollar amount. Mm-hmm. And typically it's a dollar amount that is not in alignment with them. Like they would say, okay, that's a car or that's something else. And especially if they're not entrepreneurial minded, they're looking at you like, okay, she might need something that we need to talk to a doctor because she's lost her mind. This is a mistake because the whole conversation was about you. So the way that you enroll your family is to bring them into the conversation. What I love to do when I'm talking to my husband, especially because I travel a lot, I'm in a hotel right now. I'm going to do XYZ so that we can. Mm-hmm. We is a key word in your conversation. So if I'm doing this in the business so that we can be able to take this vacation, so that we can be able to meet this goal and get this home, so that we can be able to have, you know, 1 week every month together where I'm not working in the business and I can spend more time with the family, I'm enrolling them. So it's a win for them and it's a win for me. And so we is your friend. When you're having a conversation with the family, you will have some family that may still not be able to align. And it's not their job to love what you're doing, but we do ask that they respect and support you in what you're doing. So it may be, I only need this much time so that we can be able to do this. And it's committing to it. So if you find yourself, you're constantly at your computer at dinner time and the family's looking at you in another room like, she's not been at the table for a week, of course they're going to question things. If you know you're in the midst of something big, you will let the family know, I'm in the midst of something big, but this is only going to take 1 week. I will be back and fully present at this time. And when you are supposed to be present for your family, put the phone down, close the computer, for goodness sake, you know, let them know you are there. When I'm traveling, because I do homeschool and the way our family is set up, I'm making sure we're checking in on video. They see me. I'm checking in to say, I'm still here. They understand. Sometimes I bring them with me. Look, we're going on a trip. And part of the trip, mom's going to do this little thing. And then we're extending our time so that we can do more. So again, it's enrolling them in it. People will use language that will feel belittling. So you may have a family member says that, like you said, how's that little business that you're doing? Like right, people use the words little or that hobby. Mm-hmm. And because they don't see it as a 9-to-5, it's okay. You can say little, but you are demonstrating through, I demonstrated through my longevity. I demonstrated through what I'm able to do. And they're like, oh, that little business is growing. I'm like, yeah, I don't work as hard as you do either. So of course I have a smart response in my head, but I don't say it. But you know, it's just your proof is your doing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And you really, in reality, you don't have to prove anything to anyone. Just be consistent. But what you can, another mistake is continuously bringing your problems to the family. Mm-hmm. Because they love you. And they're concerned about you. If you're like, oh, this client did this. Oh, I'm losing money. I didn't get this launch. This thing went bad. They're like, well, maybe you shouldn't do that because you're only bringing the negative. So that's another thing. Your words and your actions can cause people to worry, where they will say things and you're thinking they're being negative, but in reality, they're reacting to the problem that you presented.
Yeah.
And don't take business to bed. Last thing.
Absolutely. And I will say that in my husband's case, because I'll rise to his defense, is that he finally, well, as you mentioned, like longevity was one thing. He did see that I was continuing and I was keeping up with it. Yeah. And he also admitted to me at one point too, that he was actually a bit jealous because I was pursuing this, and he's wanted to do some things on the side, but he had been working a 9-to-5, which is more about an 8-to-6 or 7 sometimes, right, himself. And so he was really, you know, kind of envious that I was also doing something that I loved and I was enjoying it. And he was not as happy in his job.
They actually admire you. I know there were certain times, because I am a mom of 6, where I'm like, okay, I feel really bad for leaving the kids again. And my husband's like, no, you need to do that, because the part of you doing this is so that we can be able to do more things. And he started getting the language. I'm like, oh, he's repeating my stuff to me. Okay. So when I would say, I'm not going to go to this thing because it's a week long, he's like, no, you're going to go. We'll be fine. We'll be checking in.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, he said, we may even show up there. I'm like, okay, great. Let's do it.
Absolutely. And you are also demonstrating to your children, you know, what the possibilities are, because I will say that I'm proud to say that my daughter has become an entrepreneur. She's a web designer. She's doing great. And, you know, and I like to think that part of that is because she, you know, saw mom pursuing her own thing. So.
They are watching us. They are watching us. I can tell with language they use. Mm-hmm. They would, I know they were listening, because when they were very young, they would, I spell my name when people call on the phone. I'm like, hey, it's, you know, S-H-A-Y. And I'm like, okay, it's B as in boy, O-Y, D as in David, hyphen G as in girl, I-L-L. So my kids would do that. They're like, hi, this is Shayla, S-H-A-Y. I'm like, really? You all are listening? And so they are watching us. And I do have touring. One is in college right now. One is graduated from college. One, she started her business. She was like, I'm not going the college route. I'm going straight to business. And I was okay with that. That was another story. People are like, she's not going to go to college. I'm like, I really don't believe college is for everyone. I think college can be great, but trade schools can be amazing. Mm-hmm. Some people need to just take the leap and just do what they're going to do. Things are different now.
Yeah, absolutely. And they can always go back to school later.
If it's needed.
Yeah, if it's needed. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah. And especially with the way it costs nowadays, it's probably better later, maybe, when you can afford it more, instead of being saddled with all these.
I'm like, be smart about it, guys. Be smart.
Yeah, absolutely. What is your favorite thing about the work that you do? What really, really lights you up?
I've had three intensives this week. These are private intensives with clients. And the biggest thing I love to see them do is come to me and say, my life has changed. Mm. And to see it on them, meaning they think bigger. They are more confident. I love to see a woman rise in her confidence. I love to just see her like look at the things that she's been able to do over a year and just be in awe of her own things. Like sometimes we're so focused, we're in it mm-hmm. that we don't see it. And we'll just sit. Our intensives at the end of the year, we just sit and this is like our joy factor. Mm-hmm. We review and find all the joy from the year. And even with all the mess that's going on around you, we can always find some joy points. Mm-hmm. And I love to see that. Mm-hmm. I think those are super important.
Mm, that's awesome. Is there anything that you wish you had known when you first started out that you've learned along the way?
Yeah. Well, for me, very introverted and super independent, the biggest thing I learned is to ask for help. And because I was the ruler of all things, I don't need any help. I can figure it out. I wasted a lot of time figuring things out. Mm-hmm. The truth is, and what we know is you can Google anything, you can read about anything. So I'm like, the how-to queen, bookshelf full of how-to, every course, everything you could think of. Had I taken the leap and found coaches earlier, mm-hmm. I could have shortened the path. I don't regret it, but I always tell people, I'm like, jump in early, get the support in the beginning so you don't have to figure out and unlearn the things that you did wrong mm-hmm. in the end. So a lot of us are in this industry, but we're unlearning a lot of old habits that didn't serve us the way that they needed to serve us. Yeah. I could have avoided some of those.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Yeah. And I've been there too. Yeah. So I can relate. And I was even talking with a prospect not too long ago too. And she's like, yes, I've taken like 60 courses and all this stuff. And we both sort of agreed that the program I was talking to her about is like, no, it's not right for me. I'm like, yeah, I can see that. Cause she's not right. And she doesn't have the mindset of thinking big enough yet because she's mm-hmm. still sort of mired in the weeds with what she's got going on. Is there anything that I should have asked you that I haven't asked you yet that you'd like to share?
No, I don't think it's anything that you've not asked me, but the bigger thing I would love to leave your audience with is really be okay with trusting yourself. Again, there's so much noise. You have to trust yourself. And it's the hardest thing to do. We would think that would be the easiest thing to do. Sometimes it's the hardest piece of the puzzle to trust yourself, trust your intuition, and be okay. Be okay being who you are.
Awesome. I appreciate that so much. It is a really good lesson. And yeah, because I've been there too. And when you're pretending, you know, and it's not really pretending, but you're just, you know, you see other people succeeding. So you think you have to do the same thing as they do. And sometimes a little bit of that works, but you still have to be able to infuse it with you. You've got to be able to have it filter through your lens, your experience, your language. You can't just take somebody else's words and try to make them fit you because people are going to see that.
Well, even when you have the mask on and you're trying to be neutral, maybe, mm-hmm. or as if some other person, I used to have clients come in and they'll work with me. They're like, I had no idea that you were like this because I was hiding all of the greatness. You know, they didn't experience it until they paid to work with me. And people would say, people need to know that you really are this person. But I was very stoic about it. I'm like, no, I'm put together. It's just like this. And I was like, okay, well, that's a lot of work, Shayla. Come on. Let's just free yourself, okay? And just let yourself be out there. The right people they'll be attracted to it.
That's the important point to remember is that, you are meant, there are people out there who you're meant to work with and who are going to resonate with you, not only your message, but actually with you. I think even on like a heart-centered level, they're going to connect with you. And that's mm-hmm. who you're meant to work with. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right.
I have enjoyed our discussion so much. And I know that I'm trusting that everybody else has as well. And there's probably some folks out there who would love to learn more about you. So how can they do that? Where's the best place to connect with you?
Yeah, the best place to go, you can go to my website, shaylaboydgill.com. And we have an amazing free masterclass on there. I'd love to connect with you there.
Awesome. Well, I will be sure and have that in the show notes as well. And thank you again for being here today. I really appreciate it. You are a light in the world, and I love talking to light-minded people.
Light awesome. It's light. Been a joy, so thank you.
All right. Well, I appreciate all of you out there who've been watching and listening. It's like, yes, what am I saying? And I also just saw a recent new review on Apple. So thank you so much. I forgot the person's name. I think it was something, I'll have to get it for the next time around, but thank you. You know who you are. You posted a review on like November 8th. So thank you so much for that. I really appreciate it. And keep listening, keep watching. You know, we have new episodes come out every Friday and lately even some on Mondays as well. So until next time, as always, I encourage you to go out and not only today, but every day, and live fully, love deeply, and engage authentically.
Did you know that a majority of entrepreneurs tend to discount the importance of their work? And a good number feel their success is simply due to luck. I know from personal experience that self-doubt can keep you from having the kind of life and business you desire. That's why I've created a free guide called Uniquely You, How to Move from Self-Doubt to Self-Love in 4 Simple Steps. To claim your free guide, go to liveloveengage.gift. That's liveloveengage.gift.